The Turning Foot Heights. The Turning Foot Heights. As we look at history, we'll notice something. One of the things that we'll notice as we look at history, even as at biblical history, we'll notice this, that as the children of Israel, or rather as God's people, were faithful at the very beginning, we find that some people were not so faithful. We find that God, seeing the condition of the world, sent a flood on the world to start everything over again. He hit the reset button. And so man goes from the flood, and one of the very first things he begins to do is he begins to build a tower. The tower was an expression of a distrust of God, because God says that he would never send a flood on the earth as he did at the time of that prolific and catastrophic flood. But man built a tower for himself because he distrusted God, because he did not believe in the words of Jesus. He did not believe that the world would be safe from a flood as was at that time. And from that time forward, we find that man has had a fascination with building things that are high. For example, if we go to the Netherlands, we find that they also like to build to the heights. They have something called the Gerbrandy Tower, which rises 1,203 feet in the air. 1,203 feet in the air. If we go to Ukraine, we find that there's a tower that rises 1,263 feet in the air. If we go to Malaysia, we have the Petronas Twin Towers of Malaysia that rise 1,482 feet in the air. If we go to Saudi Arabia, we find that there is the Abraj Al Bayt Towers that rise 1,972 feet in the air. If we go to Tokyo, we can find a tower, a building that rises 2,080 feet in the air. And the tallest building that we have to date is the Burj Khalifa building in the United Arab Emirates that rises 2,722 feet in the air. Man likes to build up. He likes to build high, and perhaps it is something in us that is calling out for expression. Perhaps it is something in us that is saying that we remember from whence we have fallen. We remember the heights from which God communed with man, from which God had a relationship with man. And so as we look at our subject today, the Turning Foot Heights, we will notice something. We will notice that God is trying to get man back up to the heights from which he fell. We'll notice that the promises of God are for the purpose of lifting man up and causing him to be able to inherit something that he would not be able to inherit otherwise. What's the title of our sermon today? The Turning Foot Heights. The Turning Foot Heights. And as we go about the process of getting to the heights where God wants to take us, we must take God's appointed route. We must take God's appointed route. And for our understanding of these things today, we're going to start with the Word of God. And we're going to start in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. In the book of Colossians, the first chapter, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says thus. Are we there, amen? The Bible says this. It says, "And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hallelujah. Verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Verse 16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The Bible says it was Jesus who was the active agent of creation, that when the Godhead got together and they said, let us make a world, let us make a place, they said, Jesus, you be the one who does the actual work. You speak the words into the air and these things will be so. And so Jesus speaks these things and these things become so. And so the first day Jesus creates, we find that as we look at creation, Jesus caused the dry land to appear. He caused the waters to be separated from the waters. He caused flowers to come up. He caused trees to come up. He caused lakes and rivers and oceans to be created, all by the power of his word, the Bible says. As we look at the power of his word, at the process of creation, one thing we notice is this, that God creates on the first day, and then he creates on the second day. He creates on the third day, on the fourth day, on the fifth day, on the sixth day. But when he came to the seventh, he said, I'm done with my creation, but I want to institute something for man. Something for his relationship with myself that is going to cause man, even though he is perfect, to grow into my likeness, to grow into the destiny that I have set forth for him. And so the Bible says that he rested on that seventh day, that day of creation. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 8. Let us go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. As a result of God's creative power, as a result of Jesus doing all these things, when Jesus came to this earth, he designated himself with a title. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. What book are we going to?
Matthew.
What chapter?
12.
What verse?
8.
The Bible says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of what? Of the Sabbath day. And this is why when John was given a vision in the book of Revelation, and God began to show him all the things that would take place on the earth, and God was pleased to give him these things through the revelations that he did, he said that when God came to him, he says that he was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Sabbath day, John was having a sweet time with Jesus, even though he was banished to the island of Patmos, where those who had been persecuted for their faith had been banished. We find that John, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of sorrow, even in abandonment, we find that Jesus did not abandon John, but he came to him on that Isle of Patmos, and he had sweet communion with Jesus. And so he says, I was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. When Jesus came to this earth the first time, we find that he came during a time of darkness. We find that he came during a time of a misapprehension of the character of God. People did not understand who God really was. And today we find that as Jesus is about to come the second time, that people also don't understand the character of Jesus. They're still confused. We find that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that as the Messiah would come, that a light would rise, a light would shine that men would be able to behold. And as they beheld that light, as Malachi says, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings, they would take a look at Jesus, they would focus their gaze upon him, and they would catch the blessing that he came to give. But even as he came the first time, we find that his people misapprehended his character. The very people who are supposed to understand the things that he was about to say, the things that he came to accomplish as his mission, they also misunderstood. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. As you turn there in John chapter 1, we have that marvelous verse that reaffirms to us the position of Jesus as creator. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made everything. But as he came, as the maker of everything, as he came as the Messiah, it is sad to say that what is recorded here in John chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, had to be said. It said here in John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We find that Jesus came during a time of darkness. And the Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that the light was the life of men. That the life was the light of men. And as Jesus came to be the light of men, and when you understand that term, it makes a lot more sense, because in the Hebrew mind, we find that term light was an equivalent to knowledge, to wisdom, to divine knowledge and wisdom. And so when Jesus came to bring the light to them, it is a representation, or it is a communication, that he also came to bring the truth, to clarify things that have been shrouded in mystery, to reveal the character of God more fully. And this is why, as we look at Jesus, we find that many times in the Gospels, when people would come to him, they would say, Rabboni, teacher, teacher. They would call him teacher because he was the one who was to teach the truth. He was the one that was to pull off the graffiti and the shroud that had been put around the character of God, so people could see that God is love. That God has the best in mind for every single individual in this room. That God's gifts, when he gives them, they're good. That as a brother gave the testimony, that God wants to give his children good gifts, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, the Bible says. And as he taught the people, he began to take away their false ideas. He began to take away their misunderstandings. He began to take away the false concepts that were lodged in their minds. And one of the false concepts that they had lodged in their minds was concerning the Sabbath. Notice how Jesus rearranges things, brings things full circle. The one who created the Sabbath came to them to tell them how to keep the Sabbath, and they did not agree with him. And so he began to teach those who would accept him, and he began to teach them thus. We're going to take a look at a few scriptures here that talks about what Jesus thought or taught about the Sabbath. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. In Mark chapter 2, verse 27, we find Jesus giving a most profound teaching about the Sabbath. One of the most foundational, fundamental things we need to understand before we understand other things. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. What book are we going to? What chapter? What verse? All right, the Bible says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You see, they had to understand something. Because of the history of the Jews, because of the situation that they had been in, we know that because of the disobedience and the rebellion that they had toward a God of love, that God allowed them to be taken captive in Babylon. And they were in Babylon for 70 years, the Bible says. And as they were there, they began to lose some of their faith, but instead of going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, change my heart. Jesus, give me a heart religion. Jesus, do something for me that I cannot do for myself. They began to look at the external forms of religion. And they said, the way that we can keep ourselves, after they came out, the way that we can keep ourselves from going back into captivity is that we have to put these man-made rules around the things of God. And it came so stacked up. It became so stacked up that we have the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Talmud, and all of these things that shrouded the Word of God. Instead of making it clear, it made it muddy. People were not able to understand what God actually said. And so we find here that because they were not able to understand, Jesus is communicating to them, and he's saying to them, hey, I am the one who created the Sabbath. I am the Messiah. I am the one who is able to tell you the purpose. And he says that the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, the Sabbath was made for the benefit of man. Now, when God gives you something, he gives it for your benefit. I love it in the Bible when God talks and he says, hey, if I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. I don't need anything from you. But he says, but you need something from me. I am the one who sustains your life. I am the one who created you. I am the one that gives you every good thing that you come across in life. And so we see here that he says the Sabbath was made for man, for the pleasure of man, for the enjoyment of man, for the spiritual benefit of man, for the physical renewal of man. Now let's take a look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, what book are we going to? What chapter? What verse are we starting with? All right, the Bible says, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Verse 11, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do what? Well, on the Sabbath days. You see, they had hedged up the Sabbath so much that even though they would pick up a sheep that had fallen into a ditch, if a man was in a similar situation, they would say, we can't desecrate ourselves. We can't go there because we have to keep not the law of God, we have to keep these external commandments that were given by men to the letter, or else we feel we are under the condemnation of God. And Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus says, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Somebody comes up to your car as you're driving to church and they say, hey, I need something to eat. You can give them something to eat. Somebody comes to your house and they say, hey, you know, something's going on with my children and I need you to come over. You can come over. Go over there and help them. Because Jesus says the Sabbath was designed not only for the benefit of the man himself, but also for the benefit of society. That we can help each other. That out of all the days of the week, we're busy, we're doing stuff, we're just rushing to and fro. But on the Sabbath, the day that God created for rest, we have time to minister to the needs of others. And so Jesus says, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was created for man. It is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. But also notice in Mark chapter 2, verse 24. Mark chapter 2. Beginning with verse 24. In Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 24, Jesus teaches again. What book are we going to? What chapter? All right, and what verse? The Bible says, beginning in verse 24, Mark chapter 2, says this. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They had a problem with him. Verse 25, and he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was in hungered? He and they that were with him. Verse 26, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. So the story is this. We find that David is being persecuted by Saul, being chased by Saul. And as he's being chased by Saul, he's having to go from place to place, from place to place. And we find that God had instituted the system of the sacrificial system, rather. He had instituted that system. And so we have priests, we have Levites, we have all these people who are doing all these services. And we find that the priests were supposed to eat the bread. Only the priests were supposed to eat the bread. But we find that because of the extremity of the situation, that God had no problem with David eating that bread. There are times of extremity, the Bible says. God is a reasonable God. And he says there are times of extremity where you would do something where you would not normally do. And so he says, hey, the Pharisees come to him. They say, hey, why are your disciples doing this? And he says, listen, The example that I want to give you is go back to the Bible, go back to Scripture, and see that my disciples are not doing anything wrong, that they are following the spirit of the law rather than just the letter of the law.
And so the Bible says, the Sabbath was created for man. It is for man to do well.
In times of extremity, we must consider the spirit of the law, the Bible says.
Now let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12 again. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12 because Jesus wants to teach us something else. Jesus is the great teacher, and if we go with him, if we listen to his words, we cannot go wrong. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. What book are we going to? What chapter? What verse? The Bible says, or have you not read, he's dealing with these same people, or have you not read in the law of Moses, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. You see, Jesus was talking about, again, the sacrificial ceremonial system of the sanctuary. And one of the things that the priest had to do was that on the Sabbath day, he actually had to cook the bread and he had to eat the bread and set the old bread on the table of showbread. We find here that Jesus is saying, listen, there are things that I want to be done. Ministry work. This is something related to ministry that is perfectly okay to do on the Sabbath. He says, hey, don't judge these people because they're doing something that I already instructed and say that they can do. And so we find that on the Sabbath, it is perfectly all right to do ministry work. Now, of course, anything can be taken to extreme. We don't want to do so much work that we don't have time to commune with the lovely Jesus. And so we find that the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was that man could do well to his neighbor. The Sabbath must be considered in the spirit and not only in the letter. And we must find that in worshiping God, in serving God, that we are at license, at liberty to serve God on the Sabbath. Now, notice one thing. Notice another thing. And this one comes through the example of Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Notice another thing that Jesus comes and he says, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is an example that I'm setting for you, for Jesus was our example. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says this. What book are we going to? What chapter? What verse? And the Bible says thus. Speaking of Jesus, it says this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The Bible says it was the custom of Jesus to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, the synagogue was not like the sanctuary. The synagogue was something that developed while they were in Babylon. But it was a time that while they were in captivity, while they could not worship God as they had liberty to worship God in their own homeland, it was a time that when they would come together and they would pray and they would read the promises of God and they would read the scriptures, and Jesus honors that. He says, hey, my custom has been from a child, my custom has been that on the Sabbath day, I go to the place where worship is being held. I go to the place where God is being discussed. I go to the place where I can worship God. And so the example of Jesus was this, that on the Sabbath day, our custom, if we would like to follow Jesus, has to be to go where God's people are, to go where we can worship God, where we can be strengthened by each other, where iron can sharpen iron, and we can be infused with energy and hope for the week to come. As we look at the Ten Commandments, we must remember that God says, remember. That the fourth commandment starts with the word remember. And that's an interesting word in itself. As we go back to the history of the children of Israel, what we find is this, that God had allowed them to go into Egypt. Egypt became a bad place for them. They went into bondage. They were in Egypt in bondage
for hundreds of years, we find that as they were in bondage, they began to forget. They began to forget about the Sabbath, about the laws of God, about the ways of God. And so God took them out of Egypt and he began to teach them about himself again. God takes them through the experience of the Red Sea. He takes them through the experience where they have a wall of fire blocking them from Pharaoh's armies. He takes them the experience through which they go through the Red Sea and they see Pharaoh's army coming behind them. They get to the other side, they look, and all of a sudden the waters collapsed. God takes them through that experience to teach them that the God that they had forgotten about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that same God who has been faithful in the past is going to be faithful to them right now. And so they began to see that God was leading them and trying to help them to understand that you can trust me, helping them to understand that I am your God, that I love you, and I want to bring you safely to the promised land. And as he does this, we find that he takes them through the wilderness to get to Mount Sinai, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. Let us review the Ten Commandments, or the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. And as we remember, as we look back, we can understand something about how the Sabbath was to be considered by God. What God said about the Sabbath in the past, that we would do well if we would like to reach the heights that God wants to take us to pay attention to. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 11, the second book of the Bible, Exodus, the 20th chapter. Beginning in verse 8, rather. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Are we there? Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? Holy. So it doesn't say remember the Sabbath day to make it holy. It says to keep it holy. Because why was it holy? Because God blessed it on the seventh day of all the earth's time. Because God sanctified it on that seventh day, that first seventh day. And so it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God is not asking us to do something that we cannot do. He says, hey, listen, all my biddings are enablings. When I ask you to do something, it is because the power is available in Christ for you to get that accomplished in your life. And so he says here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. We find that God is telling us, as we remember how God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt all the way to the promised land, we must remember along with that the instructions that the God of creation gave concerning the blessing of the Sabbath that is to take us to the height where he wants us to abide. And he says the Sabbath day is a holy day. He said that the Sabbath day is a blessed day. It is a sanctified day. He says 6 days may work be done. But on the seventh day, I have reserved a slot of time for myself in which we can have a relationship with each other, in which we can commune with each other, in which you can get to know me and I can get to know you, and we can just look at each other and know that we are best buds. We're friends. We're pals. We're not just having a relationship of a superior and an inferior. And so God says, remember the seventh day. Remember the Sabbath. And God took them through that experience. He reminded them over and over again. He said, look at what I've done for you. I am the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Over and over, he reminded them, you do not have to worry about anything because you are with the right person. You're with the right person. You don't have to worry because I'll take care of you. No matter what happens, you may have an experience where miraculously you say, hey, I want to follow God. I want to follow his will. And they say, oh, sure, you can have the day off. But you can have an experience where you struggle and you struggle and you find that in the midst of the struggle, at least it's been my experience, in the midst of the struggle, you feel the hand of Jesus around you. You feel your faith being strengthened. You feel that God is really with you. You feel that no matter what you go through, that God is not going to let you go, that he's there with you, and he's going to take you all the way through.
And so he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
And giving this commandment also, he was also teaching the principles surrounding the Sabbath. In the book of Exodus again, in the 16th chapter, God reveals something else about the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 16.
In Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 22, we find that God, before Sinai, brings the people to a place where they can learn something about God, where they can learn and gather an experience that will help them for the future. We find that God tells them, as they begin to murmur, as they begin to distrust God, he tells them, hey, wait a minute, I brought you through the Red Sea, I brought you through Pharaoh's army, I brought you through all these experiences, and now you're murmuring, and God says to Moses, hey, how long will these people murmur? But he doesn't just do away with the people right then and there. He says, hey, I'm going to cause them to trust me by doing something. The people want food, I'm going to give them food. And God says, I'm not going to give them ordinary food. He says, I'm going to give them angels' food. And so he causes manna to rain on the ground. 6 days a week, they experience this manna. And 6 days a week, they had an experience. They had a sign to point that God was sustaining them, that God was there for them, that it was God that causes them to be able to continue to live, as well as God being the one who created them. And so it says here in Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, and it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, verse 23, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and sieve that which we will sieve, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm in it. You see, the principle of preparation goes along with the Sabbath, because when God said, hey, here's the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath, he gave them a very practical illustration. He said, hey, on 6 days, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. On 6 days, I'm going to provide for your needs. But on the sixth day, I will rain twice as much bread. On that day, you are to gather for that day and the next day, which was to be the Sabbath day. And so God says, listen, I want you that on this day, to have no distractions, on this day to be so clear, on this day to be so focused on me that you prepare on the sixth day so that when you get to that day, you can pay attention to me. We can have a relationship. It would be sort of like if you were going on a date with someone and you had not finished doing your hair and you came to the date, ladies, and you are still doing your hair on the date. Or gentlemen, you had not finished shaving, and all of a sudden you come to the date and you're still shaving while you're on the date. How would that affect the date? You wouldn't have a date. It'd be me watching you do your hair, or vice versa, the ladies watching the men shaving. It takes away from the focus that we ought to have on God. It takes away from the attention that he's seeking to have, and he wants that sweet attention from you and I. We're so distracted in this world. We're so busy in this world. We have so many things going on in our lives that he says, hey, I want you without distraction. I want you all to myself. So God says that preparation is also a part of the Sabbath. Now let's go to Nehemiah chapter 13. In Nehemiah chapter 13, we find that the children of Israel had gone into captivity. They came back. And through Nehemiah, we find that they're able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah also does something else. He not only rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem, but he understands the meaning or the reason why they were in the position they were in. And Nehemiah begins to explain to them, and he doesn't get the response that he wants. Notice what happens in the story. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15 through 18.
Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. What book are we going to?
Nehemiah.
What verse? All right. Beginning in verse number 15, chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse number 15. Let's see if you guys are paying attention. All right. Verse 15. Are we there? Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, "And in those days I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses." So they're doing this work. Wine presses are being done and sheaves are being laid on donkeys, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Verse 16, "There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem." Verse 17, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day?" Verse 18, "Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath day." You see, these people had lost sight, even though they had been not too long out of Babylon, even though they had been not too long out of captivity. As sin does to the mind, we begin to forget the ways of God, forget the laws of God. And so this happened to them. And as this happened to them, Nehemiah had to bring them back to the remembrance and the faithfulness that God was calling his people to. We find that as we study, especially the book of Isaiah, we find that God always wanted to reach out to the heathen through his people, but he had to get his people right. He had to teach his own people. And so he taught his own people his way, and he was patient with them. And sometimes they would go into captivity, and sometimes they would come out. And we have the cycle of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, faithfulness and unfaithfulness all throughout the word of God. But God's desire, Jesus' desire all along, was that he would have a people that he'd be able to reach out to the world through. He'd be able to reach the people of the world and make them part of his people, part of his covenant, part of the blessings that he came to give even to Abraham, the Bible says. And today, God is seeking to do the very same thing through us. He's seeking to reach out to the world. He's seeking to tell them there's a last message of mercy that is being preached, that is being communicated all around the world, that soon Jesus will come and the things of this world will dissolve, and the things that we put so much stock into, so much concentration into, so much worth into, that they don't mean a hill of beans. And so we find here in Nehemiah that no business ought to be done on the Sabbath day, that this is a day that God wants us without distraction. And so he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so he says in Genesis that the day was made holy and he sanctified, he set it apart for a holy use, a holy use. But God also wants to go deeper than that. Not only does he not want us to do those things that outwardly seem, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. God not only doesn't want us to not go to restaurants on Sabbath just because. God not only wants us not to do those things that seem so convenient, but to honor the principle of the Sabbath, that preparation is a part of the Sabbath. But God wants to go even deeper. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, our scripture reading. In Isaiah chapter 58, we find that God explains his desire. We find that Jesus makes plain the things that he would like as you go on the special day with him, as you commune with him. Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 58, beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, beginning in verse number 13, are we there, amen? The Bible says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor even speaking thine own words. The Bible says that the Sabbath is a holy day. It is a day when we ought to allow Jesus to reign in us more profoundly. It is a day because of distractions being moved away, out of the way, that we can be able to find what Christ would have us to learn, how Christ would have us to grow. And it says here that we ought to be even careful to surrender our words to Christ, to surrender our ways to Christ. And he says that as we engage in the Sabbath, that we ought to do the things that you and Jesus enjoy together. When you go on a date, you don't just do the things that you enjoy, or you shouldn't. Because it wouldn't be a good date. Right, sweetheart? You do the things that both of you enjoy together. And so we find that as we have this precious date with Jesus on the Sabbath day, he says, hey, let's talk together about the things that we enjoy. He said, let's talk about the ways that we like to go in. He says, let's use some special words on that day, for this is a special day. Jesus comes to us and he says, hey, in order for us to have a relationship, God, forecasting, knowing what would come into the future, knowing what the demands of the 21st century would be, he says, hey, I know that something is going to come along. I know that sin is going to bring a separation between God and man. And so looking with foresight, God says, hey, I'm going to set something in operation. I'm going to set the Sabbath day here. And so he sets the Sabbath day. He says, hey, this is my time. All the other days are your day. But this time is just for you and I.
Amen.
It's just for you and I to have a loving relationship, for us to talk with each other, for you to tell me what's on your mind, for you to seek to know me more, for you to understand my will for your life. Because I am the creator. I made you. Therefore, when I make something, I give a purpose to what I make. And nowhere can you find that purpose except in Christ. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that we were created for him. For him. That we were not created for something else. We were not created for a certain profession. We were not created for a certain ideology. We are not created for a certain political standing, but we were created for Jesus Christ. And it's only in Jesus Christ that we can find our purpose, our true purpose. And so many people in life go through life, going through the circles, going through the motions, and they never find their purpose because they never find the lovely Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is giving us an opportunity in the Sabbath to say, find your purpose in me, speak to me, communicate with me, and you will be able to realize the blessings that I have for you. We find that the Sabbath, as a part of the Ten Commandments, are not to save us. We don't keep the Sabbath to be saved. We find that as we look at God's will for our lives, those who accept Jesus into their heart want to do the things that please God, want to take advantage of all the blessings of God. You know, we live in this world where we have so many things against us. Why not take advantage of all the blessings of God?
Amen.
I want to take advantage of all the blessings of God because I know I need all the help I can get.
Amen.
All the help I can get. And so we maintain a relationship through sacred time. Now let's go back to Isaiah. If you're still in Isaiah, let's look at the turning foot heights. Notice the promise of Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, as a result of coming into a saving relationship with Jesus and allowing his will to be lived out in your life by faith, the Bible says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. That means, listen, I like this because it means like, this is Monday. Let's start with Sunday. This is Sunday. I can trample on Sunday. Oh, yes, Sunday is mine. This is Monday. I can trample on Monday. Monday is mine. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I can trample on. But when it comes to the Sabbath, I have to halt. I have to halt because the Bible says, if thy turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, realize it for what it really is, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words even. Now look at verse 14, because here we have a conditional statement. In verse 13 it says, if, and in verse 14 it says, then. It says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Just if we didn't get it, God says, hey, I said this. He says, hey, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, if you honor it as my holy day, if you take advantage of it as a day in which you can have a relationship with me, God says, listen, you have these desires to be high up there. That's the only way you'll be able to get there. He says, hey, you want to be the best student you can be? Hey, honor my Sabbath. And so many students go to school and they study all day long, every day of the week, and they're not able to do what God's people are able to do. God's people will study 6 days a week, take the Sabbath off, and get the same grade as you. As the person who studied 7 days a week, because there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. God said, hey, if you honor my Sabbath, there's a blessing. I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, those promises that were given to God's people. You will be blessed abundantly. You will be amazed at what God can do because of allowing Jesus to come into your heart, of saying to Jesus, yes, I believe your word. Yes, you said it. And as you cannot lie, I believe in your promise. And because I believe in your promise, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I go through the fire, yet I will trust God. I will stay with God because I know that it is the same God that took the children of Israel through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, and brought them out on the other side and caused them to inherit the land that he said that he would. God wants to bless us abundantly, more than we can ask or think, the Bible says. And he's saying here, my child, consider my Sabbath. Consider that I want to enter into a relationship with you. Consider that even if you don't come, even if you stand me up, this date is still here. I'm still here. I'm still sitting at that restaurant. I'm still waiting, just sipping my water, waiting for you to come. I want you to come because I want you to stand on the high places of the earth. I want you to be at the turning foot heights, God says. Amen. This morning, if it is your desire to take advantage of all the blessings of God, including the Sabbath, I invite you to stand with me as we pray for a special prayer. As we pray a special prayer, the Bible says that all the promises of God, that in Christ they are yea and amen. The Bible says that God cannot lie. The Bible says that faith is the victory. And though our faith be tested at times, we know that as we depend on Christ and not on ourselves, as we depend upon Christ, that he will live out his life within us. He'll give us the strength to do the things that he is asking us to do in order for us to be blessed.